It's Thursday, and that means it's time to talk to a professional who would never forget a name.
So, I wish your son Miller all the best.
My name is Noah!
Why? Because his voice is so velvety smooth.
Yo, Minerva, kick it one time, boy.
It makes the girls go...
Oh, my.
He's a rapper so fly.
Philadelphia, born and raised. On the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, laxing, relaxing, or cooling, or shooting some b-ball outside of the school when a couple of guys, they were up to no good, started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got one little fight. My mom got scared. She said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air. I whistled for a cab, and when it came near, my license plate depressed. It had a dice in the mirror. If anything, I would say that this cab was rare, but I thought, nah, forget it. Yo, Holmes, the Bel Air.
He makes Eminem want to cry. It's the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Right now on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie at 118 North Millen Beloit or call them at 738-5701.
We're doing this on a Friday in between games for KU and the NCAA tournament. The voice of Jayhawks, Brian Haney, is with us. Brian, how you doing? How you enjoying Wichita?
Hey, I'm enjoying it a great deal, Wade. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. A little nerve-wracking yesterday when KU was down 10 in the first half and couldn't buy a bucket, but you knew they were going to make a run at some point. And it was even a four-point game with 11 minutes to go. But the Jayhawks, mainly Devontae Graham, certainly contributions by Mitch Lightfoot as well, but Graham would not allow his team to lose yesterday.
No, he was great. And that's what you expect out of a first-team All-American when maybe some of the other guys are a little bit tight. Shots aren't going down. You're playing shorthanded because, let's call it like it is, this team without Udoka Azubuike isn't a one seed. This team looked like a one seed without him versus West Virginia, but that was an isolated glimpse. If he's at full strength and you've got the rest of your team playing to their capability, then yeah, you're a one seed. But as Bill Self very, I think, astutely and accurately pointed out yesterday, that felt more like a 3 versus a 14 when you don't have Doak at full strength. And he had a minutes cap or count of 5 to 6. They played 3 of those in the first half. They didn't test it in the second half. They had an exercise bike for him set up on the side where he could ride the bike and keep the knee from stiffening up on him, keep it loose. And he did that, but ultimately they decided just not to put it back in there in the second half once KU got a sizable lead. But, you know, you're going to need him for at least 15 minutes and realistically 20-plus in this matchup on Saturday night. And I'll tell you what, I left Intrust Bank Arena, just to be honest with you, a little bit nervous, somewhat intimidated about what I think Seton Hall can bring to the equation on Saturday night after watching them play from out in front and handle NC State for much of that game. I don't think I truly realized beyond Angel Delgado what all they had, having not seen them up close this year. And so I'm not sitting here telling you that Kansas is going to lose at all. They're one seed for a reason. And even if you know they don't have Doak, they're a 2 or 3 seed caliber type team. And Seton Hall is a club that has lost 11 games this year. But you know, we don't know what to make of the Big East, and we're finding out this week how we should evaluate the Big East. But you know, they may have had a streak where they lost a big chunk of games in February, but those were, you know, weeks where you were playing Villanova and Xavier on the regular. And so, to me, encouraged by what we saw out of some of the Jayhawks, Gerald Vick, Mitch Lightfoot, Devontae Graham, but you're going to need one of those games, Wade, where Kansas comes out slinging it. And I mean, shooting threes, 14, 15 makes per game, like we've seen many times this year, if you're going to beat this team. And you're going to need Udoka back in a 15 to 20 minute capacity to help on the glass, because I think they could eat KU alive on the boards if the Jayhawks don't bring a stronger effort in terms of defensive rebounding.
Seton Hall certainly more talented than Penn, but certainly Penn, the way they run their offense, so many back cuts and guards dashing to the bucket, and you got to defend the 3-point line. They didn't really have anybody inside to worry about too much. And now you've got Seton Hall, as you mentioned. It sounds like you're concerned certainly inside, especially if Udoka can't be effective coming up on Saturday. What about the guard play for Seton Hall?
You know, I was impressed. I had read so much about Delgado, and I knew that they had some other guys that were 6'8", 6'9". You didn't hear much about the guards. And then, you know, they're going toe-to-toe with a pretty guard-oriented NC State team. Your listeners will remember Al Freeman from his Baylor days, played three seasons with the Bears, and Freeman goes off in this one because he had to. He had 36 points and hit 6 of 8 threes. So maybe, you know, perimeter defense is a little lacking. But there were times where Carrington and Powell, the backcourt of Seton Hall, were carrying this Pirates team. I mean, they combined in this contest for 45 points. And so it's nothing to shake a stick at. But the numbers, you know, on a more regular basis may come from Delgado and Rodriguez, who curiously came off the bench. He's their leading scorer. And this kid, by the way, I mean, he's a small forward, Rodriguez, but if you look at him, I'm trying to think how to describe this. He's 6'6", 220, and, you know, David Lawrence is our pre- and post-game analyst, right? And whenever I'm watching football with David, he'll talk about certain features on guys. He'll say, you know, look at the you-know-what on that guy. He's really strong in the base. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so this guy, Desi Rodriguez, might have the strongest base, and I'm not talking about his legs. I guess I'm talking about a Meghan Trainor song of any player I've ever seen, which means, from a basketball standpoint, he's really tough to stay between him and the basket. If you're quick and you have that type of base, you can back somebody down. You can throw your weight around, and he's a small forward. He's not a four-man or a five. He's a guard-slash-forward, but he's 6'6". With a lot of junk in the trunk that's athletic junk, not extra baggage. So from the waist down, he's really tough to tangle with if he wants to bully ball you a little bit. And I don't know right now, we'll find out at the press conference today, you know, what the defensive game plan will be on a guy like that. If it's Fee that tries to match up with him, if it's LeGerald. Guys, if it's LeGerald, LeGerald's going to give up 45 pounds to a guy that he's the same height as, and a guy that's pretty agile with that. Now, when KU has the ball, maybe you can blow by him a little bit. But when I say he's thick and has junk in the trunk, I mean, I'm telling you, you'd be giving up 45 pounds with this guy. He averages, you know, north of 16 a game as their leading scorer. So it's going to be interesting to see how these matchups shake out beyond simply Delgado. And I think as much as it was great to see Mitch Lightfoot perform the way he did yesterday, 1 point off his first ever double-double, this needs to be a Silvio game, and a dope game, but we don't know how much a dope we'll see. It needs to be a Silvio-type game. This is big boy ball, and that's not to say Mitch can't play big boy ball, but Mitch is a little more finesse, and I'm just telling you, man, these guys are going to bring some thickness and some size and muscle and hustle that, you know, they'll want to pound it. And I kept watching Delgado yesterday. He would blow by his guy, and then he would make the bucket, and he'd run down the floor waving his finger, saying, they can't hold me. There's some real attitude about these guys. And I think, in a way, it's a good thing because it will have Kansas's attention far more so had they just barely scraped by versus NC State. And the fact that KU had to labor a bit should have the Jayhawks a little bit dialed in more so than you might have been. This is the type of matchup that if you slept walk into it, you'd probably be going home. But I think Kansas will be turned up. I think Bill Self will have his team believing that, hey, these guys can and absolutely will beat us if we don't show up and bring it. And I think because of that, we're going to see a round of 32 matchup that has kind of a Sweet 16 feel to it. And I've heard some folks go as far as saying, shoot, man, their round of 32 matchup might be tougher than the round of 16 matchup. And that's putting the cart before the horse because we don't know what's going to be waiting for you if you can get to Omaha. But I'm just telling you, as much as Penn didn't look like 16 yesterday, Seton Hall sure didn't look like an 8. And Kansas better bring it, expecting a Sweet 16-type fight from a club that absolutely looks the part of a club that could be playing in the second weekend.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Aaron Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Bill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. I'm looking at Seton Hall's schedule this year. They have a win against Texas Tech back in November. They lost to Rhode Island by one, who's in the second round of the tournament after they beat Oklahoma yesterday. They've beaten Creighton. They did lose to Creighton. But the games I'm really looking at is their games against Xavier and Villanova, both number one seeds in this tournament. They lost to Villanova twice, but just a couple weeks ago, they lost to Villanova by one in overtime, and they lost to Xavier by nine, and lost by Xavier 102-90. That a lot of close games. But one thing that really stands out to me, Brian, is that they're high scoring games for the most part. And yesterday's game against NC State was high scoring as well. Does that bode well for Kansas? Because that to me, that means that Seton Hall wants to get up and down, pick up the pace, the tempo. Means they probably don't play the greatest defense in the world. They led throughout yesterday, so it's not like they had to get a ton of stops and try to rally from a deficit like KU had to do there in the first half, down 10 against Penn. What about Seton Hall defensively? And from that standpoint, is it a decent matchup for KU that they can get up and down against Seton Hall? Or does KU want to actually slow it down a little bit against these guys?
Well, I think we're going to find out the first 8 minutes, what Coach Self's thinking there. Usually, we don't slow it down against anybody because, we like to get out and push it. We like to score 80 a game, or 82 to be exact. I wonder about the caliber of defense in the Big East this year when you look at some of the average scoring margins that are put up. Does that mean you've got a lot of firepower on all these teams, or do they not play as much defense as you might see in other conferences? I don't know, and I don't want to sit here and make that generalization, but I think to your point, this will not be as good of a defensive team as Kansas will have faced the last couple of weeks. And maybe the Jayhawks do have a chance to hang a big number on them. But to do that, they have to hit shots. And Kansas had a pretty pedestrian line yesterday, 7 of 17 from downtown, that needs to improve if you want to extend your season. And I'm not saying they have to have another one of those 16-3 type games, but, man, something in the low teens might be necessary. And, that's a little bit of a risky proposition because you don't want to get yourself into a three-point reliant, mode where you got to hit a ton of threes to win. But that's kind of been this team's MO, right, this year. I mean, they've been at their best when they've been throwing in threes at a prolific number, and I don't want to see them solely have to commit to that, but it's going to be harder for Devontae to get deep dribble penetration and score at the rim, something he's not necessarily the best at, when you've got this type of rim protection on the back line. And so I think it turns into more of a jump shot game, a transition offensive game. You can get out and run, yes, but not in a half-court set. Devontae got going yesterday in a half-court set, putting the head down and driving the ball against the pin man-to-man. That's going to be harder with shot-altering bigs on the back line like Seton Hall can bring. And so, to me, I think it is a game where you have to hit a lot of threes, and that's a scary proposition, and yet when you consider that's basically the way the Jayhawks have been living life for the last 4 months, I guess we should be prepared for this, both in terms of the players and the fans. We always hate that phrase, live by the three, die by the three, especially in this format where you have one up shooting night, you're going home and your season's over. But this is going to be one of those games where I think they have to be at least considerably three-point reliant, and I guess, if anything, they're conditioned to do it.
KU certainly has had advantages by being a number one seed in regards to geography. They've been in Omaha. KU fans travel, of course, we know that, but Omaha's not a long ride. Of course, Sprint Center last year, short little jaunt over there. And then you got Wichita this year, and I saw where they had about 14,000 fans for their practice the other day. And I hear so many people, I don't know if this is maybe overrated a little bit, but I hear so many people say, oh, well, Kansas is a lock last year to go to the Final Four if they get to Kansas City. And, of course, we found out that wasn't true. KU's a lock to win the Big 12 tournament. It's at Sprint Center, and last year they lost in the quarters, but they did win the tournament this year. And then they're a lock to get through the first two rounds because, well, they're playing at Wichita. And I know the fans help, don't get me wrong, but I do think at times when you have that home crowd that so badly wants to cheer, it sometimes, I think, can help make you tight because – when all of a sudden nothing's really happening, the place does get quiet because you have mostly Jayhawk fans there in Wichita, and I could hear it watching it on television yesterday. It was quiet to me, and I thought, wow, if I'm a player and I'm 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, I'm going, hey, we're playing a 16 here, and the crowd's quiet, and we haven't given them really anything to cheer for, and I think sometimes that can make a team a little bit tight, and we have seen KU at times, whether they have the home court advantage or not, whether it's Sprint Center, Omaha, or in Wichita, that sometimes can cause them to go a little bit tight. Do you think there's anything to that?
Yeah, I think Coach Self has said as much in some of his media sessions that he wouldn't have minded having to go out west, and he loves fan support, certainly takes great value in that, but at the same time, sometimes that does add pressure. And so, believe me, we would much rather have the six-man home court advantage that we've had these last couple of years in Tulsa, Kansas City, and Wichita than not have it. and it'll be there in Omaha, too, although the tickets will be harder to come by if Michigan State and Duke are both still dancing. But you'd much rather have it, yes. But having said that, it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world to be out on the road a little bit tighter in the huddle, a little more back to the wall. And when that's the case, we've seen Kansas play some of their best ball this year. So that's why when you and I were talking in late February about how the last couple of weeks could go, I told you a couple of times, I wouldn't mind if we got shipped out to L.A.
Yeah.
But Hawks played too well. They stand at home, and honestly, we're okay with that. And actually, we're excited about that. That practice that you referenced on Wednesday when they had 14,000 in there for an open practice the day before a game, by far the best day before the game type practice I've ever seen. And I think the guys really fed off of that. It was just a practice, but they realized, wow, we're getting a hero's welcome before we go win the six games necessary. They really appreciate us here. Let's go out and put it on a show for these folks. And, they obviously have one more game to win here in Wichita to truly back that up. But I think the Jayhawks are enjoying being here and enjoying a lot of the fanfare that's come with it.
All right. Did you fill out a bracket this year?
So I kind of got twisted my arm into this because I don't anymore. I can't, for the purposes of any contest, working for KU now. And I was on the air with one of our buddies, Sharon Petro, on 810 in Kansas City the other day, and he basically talked me through a Final Four in rapid-fire fashion, just asking me what teams I like in each region, because I told him I hadn't filled out a bracket. And sad to admit, one of the teams that I settled on with him in that 45 seconds of brainstorming was Arizona.
Uh-huh.
So, so that's not looking real good. But I do have Kansas coming out of the Midwest, and I have Carolina coming out of their region. And you know what? It's a bit of a homer pick because I worked there for 4 years, but I really like the path that Texas Tech has. And I know that they had to labor to get by Stephen F. Austin and Kyle Keller, a former Kansas assistant, last night. But, man, Keenan Evans is something special, and I think he's starting to look healthy again. And so I've got them coming out of a region that has Nova and Purdue in it. I think this year, more than ever, it's a crapshoot because I really believe in most cases anybody can beat anybody on any given night. We saw that last night with a really valiant effort out of the matchup between Buffalo and Arizona, where Buffalo just wasn't missing shots.
Mm-hmm.
And Arizona settled for a lot of shots and I think put themselves in position to fall behind. But you don't go into that matchup thinking it could be a 20-point rout.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't miss. And so on any given night, I think anybody can go home. And so, yeah, I don't feel super great about my Final Four, especially now that Arizona's out. But so that's what I went with, and we'll see how it holds up. But obviously, it's going to take the Hawks. You can't do what I do and not take the Hawks.
Sure.
But I feel like this Kansas team gave me enough confidence in the way they performed on Saturday in Kansas City to feel like playing some of their best ball was certainly a possibility this next 2 or 3 weeks. Now, we didn't see that to start the game versus yesterday, but I think a much more dialed in effort could come tomorrow, and quite frankly, it's going to have to come if we want there to be a game after it.
Yeah, just in order to make you feel a little bit better about your pick with Arizona, Chad, Dusty, and I all had Arizona in the Final Four. I had Arizona. I had Arizona in the championship. Chad had Arizona winning it all. So,
wow.
Shows us what we know.
I feel better than good, good company. Dave Ellis is talking about how Aiden's a future Hall of Famer and everything, and I'm like, okay. Well, I do think that somebody on that 5-4 line is going to upset Virginia. So let's go with the team that has the future Hall of Famer, but. Dang, it sure didn't look good last night, did it?
No, it didn't. And to me, it looked like Arizona, Buffalo wanted it. I don't like the saying wanting it more, but honestly, watching that game, Buffalo wanted it more. I mean, they got after. They got every 50-50 ball. They were aggressive. They took it right at Arizona's bigs. I thought Arizona was soft. They didn't play as a team. They didn't move the ball a lot. There was a lot of, I would call it, hero ball when the shot clock wound down. They just didn't look good. It was a mess, and I couldn't believe how badly they got spanked by a Buffalo team whose head coach at halftime said, "We're up two, but we should be up by more, and we believe we're the better team." And I was like, wow, that's pretty boastful. But they backed it up. They were the better team, and it wasn't even close last night, and it was shocking to a lot of people, and it's going to cause a lot of people to burn their brackets, or already have, because they picked Arizona to go deep in the tournament. All right, time for the off-the-wall question, Brian. This one's not too off-the-wall. What's the best thing about Wichita so far?
Wow. Well, I think it's the easy answer is the fan support. Sure. We talked about what it was like at that open practice on Wednesday, but we had a pep rally yesterday, and I mean, they were just ready to rock. And I mean, fired up, chomped at the bit. You know, I was emceeing it, and I did something where I had everybody raise your hand if you're 30 years old or younger, and have people raise their hands. So I said, if your hand's in the air, you honestly don't know life without Kansas in the NCAA tournament. It's been an NCAA record 29 consecutive years of being in the dance. Mm-hmm. For some of our listeners out there, all they know is KU in March, and yeah. It's not supposed to work like that, Wade, as you know.
Yeah.
You know, programs like Kentucky, even after winning a national title in 2012, are in the NIT the next year. It's an unbelievable role they've been on. And then I said, raise your hand if you're 9 or under, and a bunch of kids started making noise, and I said, you guys only know Kansas as a 1 or a 2 seed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what it's like to see your team in the dance and not feeling like you have a chance to win the national title. We were so spoiled. But the fan support was great. And I think just even though last night downtown there wasn't a whole lot of activity because I think a lot of the fans that are coming to the games are fans from nearby parts that are driving home, I do think it's going to be a pretty raucous atmosphere tonight and tomorrow down here. And so just, I would say, the energy in the city, the excitement over not just basketball, but Kansas basketball, because we're well aware of how much the Shockers have, you know, achieved and how much they've taken, you know, this city's heart by storm with the way they performed in recent years. But let's make no mistake, one of our biggest alumni bases is right here for KU, and they're really proud of their Jayhawks. And it's a fan base that's been begging for KU to play down here on a more regular basis. So they get to see their Hawks, and they're showing up loud and proud and supportive of them, and that's pretty exciting to get to witness all of that. And I think for our players it has been too.
Yeah, you could also throw it out there, if you're 14 or younger, you don't know what it's like for KU to not win the Big 12 or a conference championship.
Exactly. Exactly.
Isn't that nuts?
It's crazy. We were so spoiled.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just think for a second how spoiled we are.
Yeah.
But having said that, all of us, including our head coach, want even more, so let's go get it.
Sounds good. Have a great call coming up on Saturday and next week. Hopefully we are talking about the Sweet 16 and eventually Elite 8 and a run to San Antonio, Brian.
Sounds great, buddy. Thanks again.
Take care. Have fun in Wichita. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, here with us. Brought to you, as always, by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.